welcome to Radio Radar, episode 131. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, always here with...
Maxwell McGee.
Lorenzo Valoria.
And Ashley Reed.
Hey, guys.
I can't believe we're at 131.
I know.
That's a lot of episodes.
Jeez, I think we're getting close to 3 years at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. We still haven't found episode 100. It's still gone.
Don't bring that up.
X-nay on the 100-ay.
On the 100-ay. Yeah. Whew, this has been a full news week, I tells you.
Yeah.
Three of the news stories I wrote down in here, just one of them would have been enough to fill a week of conjecture and discussion. And yet we have like three of them, so we're going to go straight into it. Like, now we're doing the top seven, but let's get through the top seven fast because we have so much news to pontificate about. But we also have a ton of reviews too. This was a busy week.
It's just so crazy.
Plus, we have your answers to last week's community question as well. The question of the week. Trying to think. There anything else we want to talk about? Just started this week. She's not on the podcast, so we definitely welcome Susan Arnett. She's started Woo! With us, and you may Yay! Know her name from she used to be, I believe, worked at Escapist mm-hmm. and Joystick before that, mm-hmm. and now she's with us as our new managing editor. So Woo! We definitely welcome her. She's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like her so far. I think so far.
So far.
It's not weird.
So
remains
far.
To be seen.
For now.
No, I do. She's great, and I'm really looking forward to this was announced that, like, also from Joystick. Ludwig Keitzman going to be joining us, too. I really look forward to him. It's exciting times at Games Radar.
We got a bunch of new people at the UK team, too. We got Louise Blaine. We got,
lots of people.
Only Louise.
There's a lot of names to keep track of. But
whenever you want to name a list of things, Ashley, it's just like,
I'm just like, I got one really, really right. But everyone's like, no, you're wrong. And then I was right.
Well, so lunch today, we had Popeyes.
Oh, good. We're doing the lunch catch-up
now. Okay.
This is my favorite part of the show.
I did want to tell people that this week I had a weird experiment with lunch where until I had Popeyes this week, every day for lunch this week, well, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday for lunch, I just had old French toast.
Great.
Because they got French toast for the whole office for breakfast, which was basically like four loaves of French toast.
I'm surprised you're not dead.
Half of them were uneaten, and I was like, I could spend $10 on lunch, or I could eat another three slices of French toast.
Thaw out one of the 10 pounds of pancakes we have in
now
the freezer.
Now, why do they ever put those in the fridge? No one's going to eat them.
I like found those. It felt like I was excavating. Like
I want to know, like, when the guy opened the freezer to put more pancakes in and he saw that there are already multiple bags of frozen meals. One more is not going to hurt.
I think that's why we got
more flapjacks.
I think that's why we got French toast this week, is that keeps better than pancakes.
They're preparing for the pancake famine.
Who would even eat those pancakes now? Like, I feel like even a homeless person wouldn't want that.
Not in San Francisco.
Granted,
microwave it is perfectly fine.
Oh, sure.
Granted, I did when I was I had a really busy day this week. I got into the fridge and I'm like, I recognize this loaf of bread from like 2 months ago, but it was in the freezer. So I'm like, okay, it's in the freezer, so that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I ate 2-month-old toast for lunch. So maybe if
freezer's
you push
like
me far
time
enough,
capsule.
Yeah.
If you push me far enough, I would eat the pancakes.
It stops time.
That's right.
And also, in exciting food news, we just got a popcorn machine here. So we've been all, like, I think once a day, we've just been like, oh, somebody made more popcorn.
And
scoop,
a beer tap.
Scoop.
There's a beer tap.
And there's a beer tap, too. I have not experimented with that. It's just attached to a keg. It's not like we have, like, beer lines running through the place.
Yeah, I've had a taste.
What brand is it?
I think it's a Anchor Steam and some kind of IPA.
All right. Well, that's local, at least. Yeah. IPA is the lighter one, right?
It's the hoppy one.
Okay.
Super hoppy.
So, like, the opposite of light, actually.
I don't like beer. I don't like the taste of beer. I like alcohol just fine. Beer, not so much.
It's like, weirdly enough, I'm not a huge beer person. I'm getting used to it. I'm not a huge beer person still, but I came from, like, where beer is born.
Beer really is an acquired taste, though. You really need to drink it to like it.
That's what my friend told me, like, you have to just drink through that. You're like, yeah, everybody hates the taste of beer.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then you drink through it and you get used to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
College helps with that a lot.
Yeah, right,
college.
Right.
I prefer hard cider. Well drinks yeah. and hard cider. That's
ooh,
what
that, yeah. those are both good.
That's real Irish of you. Mm-hmm. They love hard cider. Oh, yeah. Cider day, yeah.
Speaking of which, this was the St. Patrick's Day week.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah, you didn't go out drinking on
no,
Tuesday?
No, I didn't even know. Nobody pinched me.
Well, nobody was in the office to show off. It was on Tuesday, and that's our normal work from home day. So no one was in the office to wear green to talk about, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day, guys, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, that is what they say.
I was gone from work on Wednesday, but that had nothing to do with
Tuesday,
St. Patrick's Day.
We believe
good story.
You.
Yeah. All right, let's get in the top seven now.
Woo!
Yeah, it's enough opening banter for 1 week. The top seven incredible scenes that got cut from your favorite games.
Ooh.
How disappointing.
Now, this, I hasten to say number one is nobody's favorite game, or number seven is nobody's favorite game.
You don't
or
know.
Really number one either, but...
you don't know.
I guess every game is somebody's favorite.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know how many people love Resistance? So many.
The worst.
So much.
It is like the most vanilla thing ever made. And like people just, you know what, I'm not getting into my head.
People will die Resistance. On the hill of Resistance.
Number seven, wreck a Thanksgiving Day parade in Ghostbusters, the video game.
Who are you going to call?
Ghost.
No, seriously. Yeah.
The new Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So the Ghostbusters game was a good game in the time. Well, it was one of the first games I ever previewed when I started in the industry.
Ooh.
And it was a cool game to see. It's an interesting concept where it is like, I guess it takes place like 1993 or something. Like it's after Ghostbusters 2. And they revisit, like, it's very clearly canonical within the Ghostbusters franchise.
Oh.
And they get back, they got back all four Busters to play themselves in, and they just make them look like how they did a long time ago. Not current Busters looks.
That'd be pretty, I would pay to see that movie. Honestly, if it were all the old Ghostbusters as they are right now, I would pay to see
they
that.
They should just make a CG, well, now, sadly, R.I.P. Harold Ramis, like, he can't come back for it. So it's like the last time Harold Ramis will ever play. Well, they could just pull up some of the audio he recorded for the game. But so in the game, too, there were some cool scenes. You fight... You fight the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man who's like climbing up a building to try to get you, and you go back to the library where you fight the ghost that is in the very first Ghostbusters scene of busting ghosts. Remember in the library, guys?
I remember in the hotel. I can't remember the library. No! I remember now. I remember because there's all the floating
equipment.
Books.
They didn't have their equipment then.
I was never a Ghostbusters fan. I had a neighbor kid that lived in my neighborhood. He loved the shit out. He, like, built his own Ghostbusters little car thing.
Damn!
I went as a Ghostbuster for Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
I
did.
Okay.
But I was more into the cartoon than the movies, but it was more for kids then. And Slimer was like the main character. And you guys remember Ecto Cooler, the Slimer High C?
Yeah, I remember
juice box.
That. Yeah, that was
what?
Great. Yeah, it was.
It might be before your time.
It was a High C little orange juice box, and it was supposed to be like green inside, but it really wasn't.
That sounds disgusting.
They had like green straws or something.
It was Ecto Cooler named after Slimer. And then they stopped calling it Ecto Cooler, but then it was still the same flavor. Like I've looked into this, guys, online. It's just like what the Ecto Cooler truthers are like. They got rid of Ecto Cooler just because they lost the Ghostbusters name, but it's still this flavor.
What flavor was it?
I don't know.
It was like some kind of orange.
It was a ghost flavor.
Like, I don't know.
Flavor.
Somebody wiki
the flavor
Ecto
of
Cooler.
Dead souls.
Ecto Cooler.
But that has nothing to do with what was cut from the video game. What was cut from the video game, as they had all these cool levels, but what was cut from the video game was a big fight during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, because the Ghostbusters are in New York City, and one of the key things of New York City is the annual Thanksgiving Day Parade by Macy's, and they were going to fight it out during it, but it was cut, and there's lines of dialogue where they mention the parade, and people have like scoured the disc and found like scenes that would fit with the parade. But I'm guessing making an entire level based around something as huge as the Thanksgiving Day Parade maybe proved more challenging than they thought it was. I thought it would be.
You got to have huge crowds. You got to make all the balloons. You got to have huge crowds.
Yeah, and it was already going over budget, maybe, and then it's like, just get this out. Cut it. Get rid of the parade. Who cares?
Confetti.
Isn't it
the confetti.
And, like, the Macy's Day Parade is, like, this huge advertising thing, so they probably couldn't even get the rights to most of what was in it.
Yeah, it'd just be a bunch of just, like, trademark-free balloons.
And I do have... Oh, my God.
It's orange tangerine.
Yeah. Right. Here's a squirrel.
Lorenzo's freaking out. He's like, tell them.
Echo
tell them what flavor
was
it is.
Orange tangerine flavor.
Orange tangerine. Okay.
And they're saying they changed the name to Shoutin' Orange Tanger Green and then renamed
like
it later
like
to
that.
Crazy Citrus Cooler.
No, tangerine.
And then discontinued it in 2011. No, discontinued it in 2007.
You can't even get it anymore,
so
kids.
You can't get
you
it
can't
in
even
any
it.
Form. Well, you know, food comes back. Hey, Surge.
I'm sorry, in 2011.
Breaking.
In 2011, the fan group Ghostbuster Chicago Division created a recipe that was said to taste exactly like the original.
Exactly.
So you can get it still, kind of.
Well, you can make it for yourself, I guess. But I mean, they brought back.
You make it in a Ziploc baggie in your toilet.
They brought back Surge. They brought back crispy M&Ms to America. I missed those.
Did they?
Right. Go to your local Walgreens. Look for it on the candy shelf, man.
I don't know if I want to.
When they bring back the Crystal Pepsi and the new Coke, that'll be the day. That'll be the day.
Is that Crystal Pepsi?
It's so clear.
Did you ever have that?
See right through it.
So gross.
No, I never had. I have an excuse for that one. In my childhood, the only Pepsi in the house was Diet Pepsi caffeine free, which will explain why I hate Pepsi. Mm. So that was all I experienced for Pepsi for like 15 years.
Ugh. Number six, save still water with song in Saints Row the Third.
Pepsi tastes like my grandma's house.
This sounds fun.
So Saints Row the Third had a bunch of weird cut things. And if you played that game to the end, it definitely felt like kind of like they stitched it together at the last minute. There's definitely some missions that were like, wait, this doesn't really connect to anything. But then the character just kind of shrugs and goes like, eh, I guess this is the next thing.
It's a video game.
One of my favorite moments of that is when they just decide to add zombie missions to it. And they're like, well, I guess there's going to be zombies now in this stage. Really? Zombies now? And then he just, in a brief cutscene, he drops a canister on the city that turns people into zombies. And then he gets out of his tank and he just goes like, ugh, zombies. That's it.
That's all there is to it.
Yep. So there was supposed to be the end of the game was supposed to end with a big musical number that was We Are the World-ish style of everybody singing together.
That sounds fun.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. Though I love the original ending was great as it was. Like, well, there's two different endings. The one where you go to where that then starts taking place on Mars, but then you're actually in a movie.
Right.
And then before that, you are like saving people to the theme of I Need a Hero, just playing in the background for 6 minutes straight. It is so awesome. God, the Saints games. I wish, they just need to play just a little bit better and they would be the best games still. Like, I'm really hoping Saints 5 or whatever they make will like really take it up a notch, but still be the most insane thing anybody's ever made. They cut this. I wonder if that's why they made such a musical stuff in the Gat Out of Hell DLC they just put out.
Oh, do they? I've not heard it.
It's partially a parody of a Disney musical, and there's like multiple musical sequences. You guys not seen this in the Gat Out of Hell DLC?
No.
I haven't played it.
Get with the program, bros.
Got so many other things to play.
Number two. 32 Colossi, gone.
It's actually number 5, but...
What?
Five. No, you got it.
5.
You got it.
32 Colossi gone from Shadow of the Colossus.
I have actually seen some of these Colossi.
That's cut in half, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, because there's 16. Yeah, there's 16 total, so losing 32, that's two-thirds.
They lost 32 total?
They lost that 32 were gone. Now there's six. There were only 16 remaining, so there were going to be 48 Colossi.
Holy crap.
Granted, I think was probably a good choice to cut that many, because that's insane.
That would have been a long-ass game.
They would never have shipped it. They had to cut two-thirds of it out, and they're like, okay, here, we finally can fucking ship something. Finish this. Like, yeah. if they would have waited to do 32 more, like, it never would have been done.
It would have been like this other game that they may be involved in. Maybe you know that one.
Maybe they should just hack off like a third of Last Guardian just to get it out.
Yeah.
Just think, if Shadow of the Colossus had come out today, they could have released it with the 16 Colossi and a disappointing non-ending and then teased out a bunch of extra Colossi as DLC that had the real ending. It would have been great.
It would have been more profitable.
There you go.
Definitely. The finding out about those Colossi is kind of sad. Though it also mentioned in the article that it was kind of taxing to the system as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there were definitely some Colossi that are in the game that you're like, I feel like the PS2 can barely handle this.
Ooh, like the one where you have to jump on its head and direct it to one of the towers and then jump off and then it puts its whole body on top of the tower. I could see like the system chugging to be like, oh God, this is too much.
I can't hold it.
Yeah, there were a few like that. So, you know, I think a lot of these entries are just like they ran out of time and it was time to ship this game. Mm-hmm. So get rid of it. And like, I think that's what happened with Shadow of the Colossus.
I think this one
would it have been three times as good if they had? If it would have been triple as good if they had those Colossi back?
Most definitely,
not necessarily.
You think so?
No.
I do not think so because they were already kind of straining.
You don't think around Colossi 26 and you go back to the temple and they're like, okay, this time you're gonna go fight this Colossi.
More equals better.
And now it's not in the sand; it's hiding in the mud. Go get it.
It's totally different.
Though, admittedly, I did see they actually put out a couple of in-game images of some of these Colossi because they got to the point where they actually designed them in the game, and they did look kind of badass. So I'm like, please, Shadow of the Colossi 2, please, but Colossi.
All right, number four. Samus was supposed to fight Metacraid in Metroid Prime.
That would have been cool.
So Kraid is, I guess I'd say second to Ridley is the most recurring Samus nemesis.
Yeah, he's like the fat Jabba the Hutt that like you only see.
He's like a lizard
torso
one.
Up,
yeah,
right?
Torso up, yeah. Little skinny arms, fat body.
It's got like spiky belly spikes,
lizard thing.
Yeah, yeah, like up his chest, like three belly buttons full of spikes.
Yeah,
and they designed one for Metroid Prime, but I think for time purposes, like Metroid Prime had to be out that year right next to. Did it come out it was like 2002, I think it was, for Metroid Prime, but or 3?
Let's find out.
I don't remember.
Tell me how right I am, Ashley, when you find out. But anyway, yeah, it was
2002.
All right. Kraid was missing and was very missed, but I don't think Kraid ever really came back for any of the Prime games. I think maybe Kraid is just too big for... Like
he was in Super Metroid for sure. Was he in the
I bet
original?
And I bet Kraid is in Other M, but I don't think he made any of the Prime games.
I don't think he is in Other M. No. I don't remember him.
They got everybody in Other M.
I don't know, maybe.
That's a pretty nice looking screenshot they got right there.
I may be wrong. They might just corrections. It's a corrections moment.
Help us out here, people.
No, Wikipedia can tell us right now what it is.
No, it's okay.
You're right. Number three, that exciting bridge battle from the trailer never happens in BioShock Infinite.
Sad.
Ashley, do you have opinions on this one?
I did follow this game's development pretty closely, like for the life of it, and I remember seeing this demo, and I was like, oh my God, this looks so cool! And like both of the demos were like that, which is like mind blowing, and then most of the mind blowing stuff didn't get in the final release. Then when I actually read up on the development of BioShock Infinite, I'm like, dear God, I'm just glad they put out something good. Like, damn, okay, if you got to take that out, sure.
It was strange that the thing they cut was the one thing they showed everybody when people were waiting to see the game.
Right.
It was the part where you see that her trying to resurrect that horse, right? And then the songbird attacks. And then all these things that were, like, kind of dumped from later games. Like, if her... From the later version of the game, like she wasn't trying to bring back people to life as much. That kind of story was dropped a little. Her look changed slightly. And also, like, the songbird wasn't your adversary as much. Like, it seemed to, I think maybe because they knew, spoilers, you're never going to have a boss fight against the songbird. So they pulled that back a little bit. You'll have a boss fight with the songbird, and it'll be a crappy boss fight. But, But, yeah, I think Bioshock, you read about the behind the scenes on Infinite, and, like, they did some real last minute, like, slicing and dicing that game to just get it shippable and get it out the door.
It's true. And, I mean, her powers were definitely not as cool in the actual game, but at least they were, like, logically consistent. Because I was kind of looking at what was going on in the demo, and I'm like, wow, how come she can do all that stuff? And apparently they were like, we don't know. So they just made it consistent. I'm like, well, okie doke.
Cut it out.
Number two, Arsenal Gear destroys Manhattan. Metal Gear Solid 2.
Speaking of games that are a miracle they ever came out.
Well, MGS2 was bad, wrong place, wrong time. So it was, you know, they announced Metal Gear 2 as one of the premier PlayStation 2 games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the people were lined up around the block at E3 to just watch the demo of it, just to see it being played. Like, what a crazy time. Would anybody, well, number one, like, you'd never have an exclusive video to stand in line to look at. It would be online before you could see it in person.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So that feels rather old. But but everybody was waiting for it, and it took, you know, the Metal Gear team to put out that awesome demo that came with Zone of the Enders.
Yeah.
That, like, really showed off what MGS2 was going to be. And you finally get MGS2, and it was released, like, within weeks of September 11th, 2001.
Oh, no.
And with games that the seemingly innocuous story of a giant ship crashing into the middle of Manhattan and then having a big boss fight happen on top of a building doesn't seem so fun anymore in the shadow of that.
Hmm.
So I think even now you could do it so easy. Like, there have been so many, like, I feel like for like 4 years, everybody was afraid to have anything in a movie, game, TV show that could even remind you remotely of the September 11th events.
Oh, yeah, right. Totally.
And now they can have, like, things like Cloverfield or The Last Man of Steel film that seem to just have scenes where, like, well, we photocopied the news from that day. Like, this was, like, it's almost too real.
Well, even the, like, Star Trek movie, the ship, like, destroys San Francisco,
totally.
Completely.
It's okay. It's okay. It's, you can vaguely suggest that it's not New York.
They all teleported out.
In the time it took to
Chuck
put
off
out,
got him out of there.
In the time it took for them to put out the game, they could only remove so much from it. There just kind of has to be a weird hard cut from this fight starts. Now it's here. Maybe it's weird storytelling stuff Kojima chose to do. You never know. Right. Like, you can.
I remember that scene being a little jarring because you ride in on Arsenal Gear and it's building up to like this big moment, and then whoops, you're just on top of this building. Time for a boss fight.
Let's go.
What are we doing? Hey, oh, I do. Oh, cool. Let's go. Find the president.
I know. Yep. He's your old clone.
Yeah.
He's the old clone of that other guy.
Yep.
Who's been trading you your whole
don't
life
even,
through the air.
Don't even.
Yeah, boy. It is some
good
of the most
Wait,
confusing
your
stuff.
Your mentor, your trainer is your clone. Never mind.
He's
Never
also
mind.
The president.
The aging clone, the third aging clone of Solid Snake, also secretly trained Raiden through VR missions to make him a sleeper agent who worked for this. And he also made Rose hate him, too. And then Fortune was there also.
And they put gunpowder in his food to keep him drugged. I remember
that one, too.
Okay.
Gosh.
Yeah, Metal Gear, one of the best stories. look, if you play to the end of Metal Gear 4, it all makes sense.
It all ties back in.
They have to explain so much, but
it has four different endings.
But technically,
it just keeps going.
Yeah,
but technically,
forever.
There is a logical and semi-logical answer to everything. Though half of those answers are nanomachines, which are magic.
It's all nanomachines.
Nanomachines can do anything.
Nanomachines.
Yeah. I hit myself in the face with a mic doing that move there.
Armstrong would have never done that.
I love that guy.
He's so great.
That's the best boss fight ever. To think that the Raiden's game
would
end with a boss fight against a senator, like an American senator on top of a robot.
So good. So good.
Yeah, number one, most of the game, Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Ooh, I heard about this.
Yeah, Obsidian made this, and when it came out, it was real touch and go, barely made release.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was waiting for it because KOTOR was is still one of the most highly regarded like games ever. Like, so the sequel to it, even if BioWare wasn't working on it because they were too busy making their own thing with Mass Effect, even without BioWare, people really wanted it.
Yeah.
Then when it came out, like, it was apparently like a mess. I didn't play it because I'd heard this is a mess. There's no ending.
Yeah,
like
it was real patchy. Like you couldn't follow anything that was happening. The end just kind of just cuts off. You don't know what the hell happened.
And it would turn out that is because they had to cut and cut and cut and cut to get it out. And so, like, people have just modders since then have found all these like lost scenes and tried their best to patch it together. Like, here's the game as close to as it should have been.
People even filled in their own voice work and stuff. It's crazy.
I think there was like a stage with HK-47 in it that they cut. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, KOTOR 2, it's another of those games hurt by release day. That's why you keep these in mind when you're like, oh, this game got delayed. I wanted it now. Like, maybe the delay kept a thing in the game that you really liked, you know?
Yep.
All right. So that is this week's top seven, the incredible scenes that got cut from your favorite games. Nobody's favorite game is Knights of the Old Republic 2. and every Monday, we do a new top seven, and you should be checking it out on GamesRadar.com. And also, as long as I'm plugging things now, and I think everybody will skip it if we go to the end, so I always like to plug in the end of the first segment. We do the streams four times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, from 3:30 Pacific to 5, right, Lorenzo?
Yeah, we do. We do that. It's great. Yeah, it's a great time. We give away prizes. We do all kinds of fun stuff.
Do it all on Twitch.
Follow us.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of fun. We just I did like two this week, which is a lot for me. I did Dragon Quest Heroes on Monday, and then on Thursday, because Twitch was down on Wednesday, on Thursday, Ashley and I played Final Fantasy 15 demo.
We did. It was a good time.
And next week we're going to have a lot of fun stuff. I am hoping to do a WWE thing to tie into WrestleMania, and we will see how that goes. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the current events.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
Whoa, what a crazy week of news. We've got to go straight into it with current events.
Dun, 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 dun.
There it is.
All right, there we go.
Being pulled straight in.
All right, no. So it's hard to judge which one should be first, but I think this is the biggest. Nintendo is making mobile games and announced their next console this week.
Holy.
So, Henry, what's going to stop Nintendo from going back on anything they've ever said? How am I supposed to trust them now?
Nintendo has a long history, especially the president, Satoru Iwata, has a long history of saying, like, mobile games are bad. People make bad mobile games and they're ruining the market. Giving people bad experiences will only make you lose consumers. The pricing of games cheapens the very idea of a game. Like, he had said all things to that extent in the past. But about last year, when Nintendo had its like second or third unprofitable year in a row, he really started to soften his stance. It was like, we're looking into partnerships. Maybe we'll do stuff with things. And it was just, there were no specifics on it, which made you think maybe they were working their way up to finding a partner and just didn't have specifics yet. As it turned out, they're now they've teamed up with Japanese mobile giant DNA, D-E-N-A. Don't call it Dina, it's DNA.
Yep, lowercase e.
Dina.
And it's a weird type of business exchange where Nintendo traded 1.25% of its stock to DNA, even I just called it DNA, traded its stock to DNA for 10% of DNA stock. So technically Nintendo is now like a second party owner. It's a second party studio for Nintendo at DNA. And so DNA is going to make mobile games based on Nintendo properties. And they say none are off the table. Like any series is up for consideration and DNA will be handling it. And, you know, I think there's some, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on all this, like concerns and whatnot?
Flappy Mario.
Oh, God. You know you'd want it. You know. Man. I mean, the nice thing is it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, these guys are going to they're going to start making crappy games because they're doing mobile games. Like, I'm not necessarily a mobile game fan, but I can see them being like, well, because like you were saying, he was saying, like, well, they put out these crappy mobile games and that hurts the industry. That hurts our profits. That hurts consumers. They're probably thinking in terms of, well, we can make a good mobile game and people will buy it. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
I hope Nintendo has some quality control going on with it, definitely. And I also think maybe they're considering to make games that like can talk to each other. Like they've made, you know, they've already made a couple apps. I think it was Japan only, but they made a Mario Kart 8 app that interacted with the game, mostly just for sharing videos. So they could also just be making like, oh, we're making the next Mario game. Here's a side app for it. Here's a mini game from it made into a game. Or also, you know, the 3DS and the game and the Wii U are starved for content. They could just make games that are both mobile and on current gen hardware, just as like an eShop download. Like, I think that game, Rusty Slugger, like that's totally Rusty Slugger, Pushmo, others. Nintendo has made, you know, mobile level games or mobile style games, like very short, digestible stuff. Nintendo could even just put out like its Game & Watch games as its old Game & Watch games as mobile games. I think only I would want to play them. But Nintendo has made mobile style games. And there's been a number of successful mobile games that just outright ripped off Nintendo, you know. So I think it can work. I am sad to see it happen in a way just because, like, I wanted Nintendo to never change, you know?
Right,
and
but we see how that's working. That's been working.
But what they do need to be, like, from a business standpoint, they need to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And what they weren't for the last few years was profitable. Like, they just weren't. And you can say all you want, and I had said it before, like, Nintendo may be not profitable, but they have so much in the bank that, like, they can just keep losing money. But just because they can keep losing money doesn't mean that anyone is happy with that idea, certainly not their stockholders.
And, I mean, they can continue to lose money, but that money is still finite. So one day they won't be able to do that. So you want them to profit while they're still not in that window.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not Nintendo saying we're canceling everything and we're only going mobile or all our next games are mobile or, like, we canceled every Wii U game we announced and we're just going mobile. Like, Nintendo is definitely worried about that. I mean, Iwata even said that's why they announced the NX at this event this week at the same time they announced all the mobile stuff because Iwata wanted to make it clear this is not the announcement of us quitting on console gaming. Like, we're still making a new console. It's called the NX. So clearly we're not stopping. You will not hear anything about it until next year, though. Like, this is just an announcement of plans. Like, I bet you won't. It could be E3 2016 before we see this system in action, which would kind of fit. Like, that would be 5 years after the Wii U was revealed, you know. So,
and they talked about
console life.
They talked about the a new subscription service or online service.
Online service with DNA, which. Yeah. I think it would be good, too, because Nintendo is in desperate need of something even equivalent to a 360 Xbox Live subscription.
Damn.
Like, not even what you get. Well, they didn't want that. They wanted – and from a consumer standpoint, I think it was cool that Nintendo was like, our online is free. Just plug it in and it's free. We're not going to charge you for a service. But because they're not charging you, it's also not great. Like, you can go online with some stuff, but it's not that fully featured. But then again, like, who's playing a lot of multiplayer games on their Wii U anyway, right?
Yeah.
Other than Mario Kart, if it's just a few games, you're not playing Call of Duty on there, like, because there are no Call of Duty games on there anymore.
If they're going to make a new console, they need to just, you know, adapt to the times, too, because if they want to have all these third-party games like Call of Duty and whatever else, Destiny on the next Nintendo game, then they're going to have a reliable service that could compete with everything else.
So that makes you think, like, will the NX be a next-gen level system? By 2016, will they be able to have an affordable version of the tech that's in PS4 and Xbox One? And also in 2016, like, the PS4 and Xbox One won't be old per se, but they'll be aging. They'll probably still have a few more years around. So if the PS4 lasts as long as the PS3, then it'll be around till 2020, which, like, that saying that year sounds crazy to me. Like, man, imagine 2020.
Oh,
like,
man. Yeah. 5 whole years away. Oh, my God.
So, but, yeah, if it lasts that long, then at least Nintendo would have a concurrent system with it. But I don't think Nintendo will do that because they don't like having flashy graphics. It costs a lot of money to have flashy graphics. And my personal conspiracy theory is that a few years ago, Nintendo big Nintendo addicts knew this, that Nintendo's R&D teams, they always had separate R&D teams, a.k.a. the guys who make the next system. They had separate ones for console and handheld. 2 or 3 years ago, they quietly announced that they will just have one R&D team. They won't have separate ones for handheld and console. And when you see how long, like, they've had, handheld has been their main money maker. Well, okay, Wii and DS were pretty much the same, but other than that, since 1996, handheld has been their main moneymaker. And so in that time, they've been making, like, the Wii U is their attempt to make something that's a halfway point between their handheld and their console games. So the next system, I think, will just be, they won't make a successor to the 3DS and a separate successor to the Wii U. The NX will be both of those things. Like, it will be a console and a handheld, or a handheld you can plug into your TV. Like, it will be their handheld answer, because they've also made statements of, like, oh, we shouldn't have separate UI and sign-in and all this stuff between the Wii U and 3DS. That should be the same stuff. We shouldn't be doing all this extra work just because they're two separate platforms. So I think instead of just making a thing, two systems that use the same platform, I think it'll just be just one thing. And also because in Japan, you guys can reply to my conspiracy theory very soon, but I have to say, the last reason I have for it is in Japan, consoles are dying, 3DS still sells great. And so if they want people in their home market to buy their system, they're not really buying the Wii U, they need it to be the handheld as well. And so, yeah.
So, like, basically the console, part of it would be like an iPod charging jack or something, and you just load the handheld up into it.
It could be as simple as, like, one of those, if the tech's there by now, like one of those things you, like, just a USB thing you plug into your HDTV that just, like, just takes a message, and just an HDMI message, and plays it on the TV. Mm. It'd be the reverse of what the Wii U is. The Wii U is a console that then has a tablet thing that spits footage to your tablet. This would be a tablet that spits footage to your TV.
Mm-hmm. If the tech is there to make it look good on current televisions, then cool.
I just think the wireless capabilities of it do make it seem too advanced for Nintendo. I don't know. Or, like, they definitely want to have stuff that would work with the majority of televisions, which, I don't know. But that's my theory, guys. What do you guys have? Oh, also, they said that the NX is not related to the quality of life stuff that they're also working on. But
quality of life stuff.
Yeah, that was what they announced last year, that they're also working on non-wearable QOL quality of life stuff.
That, like, finger sensor and
something like
the
that.
The vitality sensor. Vitality
just make, sensor. Just to make your life better. But okay.
It senses your fingers.
What do you guys think the NX is?
I agree with your point a lot, Henry. And that's something I've wanted to see Nintendo do for a while, is have, like, a handheld-focused device that can also plug in your TV and double as a console.
Mm-hmm. I like that with the PSP. Like, the PSP could do that at one point.
Right. And it would also help solve the problem of, like, I want to take, you know, and Nintendo doesn't run into this so much as some other companies, but it's like, I want to take my game over to my friend's house and play it on their TV, but sometimes you run into troubles with, like, am I on the right profile? Do I have permission to play this on this system with this account and yada yada? Whereas with this device, you just, I want to take it to my friend's house. Boop, boop. I'll just unplug it and physically take it over there.
It's almost like back in the day where you could just unplug it. And you could just pick up the game and take it over.
Sure could. Boy, those were the days.
Yeah, whatever Nintendo decides to do, they need to do something different. Like, I've been a hardcore Nintendo fan my entire life, and look at me, I still haven't bought a Wii U. You know, it's just...
And even you, with the Smash Brothers game on it, like, even you still haven't done it. Like,
I still haven't done
you
it.
You have to do it for Zelda. You will do it for Zelda.
I absolutely will do it for Zelda, but, you know...
But even Hyrule Warriors wasn't enough to get to... Or Wind Waker HD.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just isn't compelling enough for me to spend money on it. Like,
I would disagree. I think... Super Mario 3D World, Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta 2, Wind Waker HD, and fifth game I'll name Nana Kirby. There is a fifth game.
I'm like, can you fill one hand Wii U games?
I think Captain Toad's Treasure Tractor is Treasure Tractor is great.
Treasure Tractor.
Pikmin 3. Those five games are worth owning the system for. Like the end. But all right. But also in the news, speaking of changing times.
Actually, real quick, could I make my NX prediction?
Okay, I'm sorry. In
one sense, they're going back to cartridge. I'm predicting they're going back to cartridge. Done. Go. On to the next point.
All right, so has Hideo Kojima quit Konami and the Metal Gear series?
That's the question.
Still with a question mark on it, though. We've gotten what I think is the closest we'll get to a confirmation right now. So... this all started yesterday on Thursday, where some people noticed that some rumors were swirling around, and people noticed that Hideo Kojima's name was taken off of three different games with have his name attached to it. And you may never have noticed this, but on the box art for Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, I believe the special edition or the HD re-releases of 2 and 3, and on the box art for The Phantom Pain, on top, it always said, a Hideo Kojima game.
It even says that when you first turn on a Metal Gear game, right?
Well, he wants it to be, like, you know, it's part of his deal. He wants everybody to know, I made this game. This is my game. Just like this is a Steven Spielberg film, this is a Hideo Kojima game. And then people noticed that disappeared from the top of it. And then there were, I believe GameSpot had an unnamed source that said that Konami has taken back Kojima Productions, that it has now changed the name of Kojima Studio into like Konami Digital Studios or something like that, and that senior staff is leaving the game or is on a contract basis to be around for the end of to see Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain to the end, and that Kojima among them has left the studio. And the silence was deafening, I would say, from Konami and Kojima at this point. Also, people noticed that Kojima Productions' official Twitter, which tweets all the time, went silent and was telling people to redirect to the official Metal Gear Solid 5 Twitter account, which would kind of show you the PR messaging might have changed a bit for it as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and this followed Kojima when they announced the release date for Phantom Pain a few weeks ago. He had quotes saying, this is my last Metal Gear game. And a lot of people were like, you say that every time. I did, but I had the conspiracy there. I don't want to say I told you so, but I totally thought this was going to happen. And so, yeah, the closest thing to confirmation we've got is that today Konami put out an announcement that Hideo Kojima will be seeing through the Phantom Pain to completion. Separate from that, and that same thing they said, Konami is making more Metal Gear games, and they are looking to hire new people for it. Now, nowhere did they say Kojima won't be involved in the next Metal Gear game.
Maybe they'll hire Kojima to do it.
Yeah. That'd be so funny to be like, well, we'll hire you, but you got to interview for it. I don't know if you're right for it.
What are your references?
I also think the hiring process is like crazy to me because Kojima is like irreplaceable. Like, he has made himself synonymous with that series. Uh-huh. So I do not like... It'll be a hard time to be the new guy who's like, well, I'm running Metal Gear now. Well, who are you? Like, I'm just some guy. I'm not crazy like Kojima or whatever. And like, I also I said about Kojima earlier, like he was one of a kind, or like he was the type dude who just made what he wanted. Like, they were such weird but special games. All the Metal Gear games are so weird and special because it's what he wants. Like, they are Hideo Kojima games. And in the corporate atmosphere of current video games, like, can you just have a dude who just spends whatever he feels like and gets to name his studio Kojima Production Studio?
Right.
Or who gets to spend the last, like, 6 years making the Fox engine?
Right.
Like, which, does Konami even need the Fox engine anymore once Phantom Pain is out? They don't make console games. Like, they're not making new console games that aren't soccer. I think it is, to me, it is pretty obvious that Kojima is done. Like, that he is, that he didn't, like, I think his professionalism will let him, he's going to see through Metal Gear to completion. Like, he's going to make sure Phantom Pain ships, mm-hmm. that it's complete, and that is the game he wants it to be. And maybe he also, like, has, like, that's in his contract, like, he gets final cut or whatever equivalent for a video game, but then he's gone. I'm pretty sure. My guess is that he's done after that, and then he'll probably start a Kickstarter or make a new startup or something, or do whatever every auteur in video games does when they quit the company that they worked at for 20 years.
If he's still seeing through the game all the way through to the launch, then why would they cut his name out?
He might have asked to have his name taken off. Maybe if it's not going to, maybe it won't say Kojima Productions, like, in it, and it, like, as labeled as his or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I think if they want to try to keep him silent until the game's released, good luck. But
he will find a way.
But I would think that in every press event for it, like, if it's out in September, it'll be at E3, you would think.
Yeah.
Someone in the press is going to ask, what's going on with Kojima? Like, if they don't have Kojima at the events, like, then they're going to say, why isn't Kojima here? He's at everything, and he likes showing his game. Yeah. I saw his Twitter, and he's here in L.A. And they'll say, you know, he's very busy.
I saw him take a selfie of himself behind that door.
Yeah, and they'll just have to avoid. And that's a lot to avoid and not put it out in the open. Like, but yeah. But also, I was telling Lucas at lunch that, I don't know, you guys went to Ashley, you were at E3. I can't remember. Lorenzo, yeah. You had to hold down the fort here.
I was home team.
And Max, were you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You remember Konami's booth. Like, it was not a booth.
Like, it was just like a box. It was a box that was sealed off.
It was a white box with Konami's logo on it.
I do remember that.
That had a theater in the center where they showed a lengthy and impressive demo of Phantom Pain. Mm-hmm. But when you looked at it on the outside, you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's going on?
It looked like the builders just gave up, and they're like, meh, good enough.
To me, it looks like they built it planning to have playable demos of something.
Something.
And then something wasn't playable. And so they just had to have empty space.
A big box.
Yeah, so I think that was like one of the first signs of like, oh, trouble in paradise here. Like,
yeah.
And then also like makes me wonder, I was really hoping, I'm thinking of this just now. Okay, GDC, last two GDCs before this one, Kojima had a big presence there showing off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year was the amazing Phantom Pain trailer where they confirmed it was Metal Gear 5 was a Phantom Pain game. They announced the release date of Phantom Pain during GDC. And I wondered, Why aren't they doing a presentation during GDC if they're announcing it? Now I think, again, I'm a conspiracy theorist guy, but now I think that they didn't, like, Kojima was silenced and he was like, no, you can't do a presentation at GDC where you announce the release date. We're still going to announce the release date now because we agreed that this would be the time we do it this week, but you don't get to have a panel. We don't want you saying anything because, like, or maybe by that point he already knew Kojima Productions was shut down or changing and he wasn't going to be in charge. Didn't want to do a presentation.
Ooh. You make That's it sound like he's a prisoner in his own home.
But didn't he do... Uh-huh.
Messy.
Wasn't he... But he did do something regarding Phantom Pain at this last... No, not at GDC. Sorry. No. I was thinking, for some reason, Gamescom and GDC mixed up in my head. But
Gamescom was when he showed PT.
Yeah. Well, he did also show the boxes. He showed off the boxes. The
sexy lady boxes.
And then he showed off... And after PT, then he showed off the Lisa decoy trap.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, it's something.
Speaking of PT... Not
don't
such,
say it.
This doesn't
don't, no,
sound
don't,
so great for Silent no, Hill.
No. Don't do that.
So that Silent Hill's PT was great, but attached to it was what is basically a teaser trailer for Silent Hills. And it makes you wonder just how far in production Silent Hills was, especially because, like, Kojima seems to have been very busy with Metal Gear since about 2009. So I wonder what, like, how much work really had gone on to Silent Hills to this point. Will they just hand it off to another person at Konami? Will Konami just, like, with no Kojima or Kojima Productions? And, like, the rumors say more senior staff than just Kojima left. Like, not just Kojima, but Kojima had a team of dudes that had been working with him since, like, before the PlayStation era. And they might, like, all those key people might have left as well, or be leaving as well. So without any of those people, like, who makes Silent Hills then? Like, does somebody just pick up the baton and complete
I know,
it?
Like, what would be the least damaging option? Do you try to finish the game without Kojima's vision and input to, you know, just to get it out? Do you try to rebrand it into Spooky Monster Town game that's not Silent Hills but is clearly what it became? Or do you just cancel the whole thing and dump the work that went into it?
And I mean, if they lose,
Spooky Monster Town.
Let's do that.
I mean, and if they lose Kojima, I'm guessing they also lose Del Toro, because it sounds like that was It didn't sound like Del Toro was like, yeah, Konami. It sounded like
if he leaves, then I leave.
Yeah, hey, I don't think Del Toro has any particular attachment to Konami.
Yeah, I'm thinking with no Kojima there, then
yeah.
He's like, hey, thanks. I'll go work on my 20 other projects I've got. Yeah.
I can see the two. I can see Kojima splitting off and starting his own new thing. And he's like, Del Toro, come on, we're gonna make this thing that's not Silent Hills, but it's Silent Hills. Whatever.
I don't know. Kojima's always talked about wanting to write books and make movies and stuff.
Yeah, I think he could do lots of things. Like, I think he's been trapped in Metal Gear for such a long time. Like, I heard Patrick Klepek from Giant Bomb was the person I heard say this, and the theory totally makes sense to me, is that Kojima's told he for a long time had this deal at Konami of, like, you can make whatever you want so long as it's a Metal Gear game. And so he can make tons of weird stuff so long as what you ended up with at the end was a Metal Gear retail game you could sell to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he was pretty creatively free, it still had to still Star Snake and be a console release. Now he's free to, like, he could make a weird indie game. He could make a spiritual sequel to Snatcher or Boktai. he could just write a book, or he could, like, make an anime, like, which he should just be doing, like, just make an anime guy. Like, you just want to make an anime. Like, there's so many things he has open to him now, like, if, or, though I'd also say, like, it's going to be a while. Like, don't expect...
I know. If I were him, I would want to take a break from the spotlight. I would want to step back for, like, a year or two and just sort of hang out and do whatever.
Yeah.
He can take that year to go to space like he wants.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, I would hope he's got a lot of money at this point that he can just take, like, 3 years off. Or maybe just never work again and just, like, I don't know, move to Spain and start a vineyard or something. Whatever he feels like doing.
Exactly.
All right, well, Lorenzo, I have an email to send, so why don't you tell us all about the third thing on here?
Star Wars Battlefront will make its debut at Celebration.
It's
a Star Wars convention down in Anaheim.
Oh, damn.
Over in April, middle of April.
Are you going?
So,
Are you going?
I think Max might go.
Let's not commit to who will go, but not on behalf
of Games Radar, but like,
oh, just by
just
my,
for,
no,
you
no,
gonna go?
Okay. No, I don't think I'd do it just on my own. But so this is exciting because the game will apparently be seen, like the in-game footage will be seen, or I don't even know if it will be playable
I would hope it would be playable since they'll have such a huge audience there. If they want a public test of, you know, 32 player matches on, say, Endor or whatever, like they'd have the biggest fans in the world like to show it, but though they have to have a lot of confidence in their game, though, I think, if they would let the biggest Star Wars fans on Earth play the game and give their public feedback to it.
I don't know if they're sticking to what Battlefront was. I think that was pretty highly regarded, that series, in terms of Star Wars fandom people, but you know, It'll be interesting to see what the game is actually about. Like, is it actually going to be set in the old
Will different levels take place? Like, will different maps be at different times?
Yeah, will you get to play as the new stormtroopers with their crazy looking helmets? Like, that look like the new cars.
You'd hope there'd be at least some Force Awakens stuff in there.
Yeah.
But would it, I guess it would have to take place after Force Awakens to, or, I mean, it won't be releasing after Force Awakens, I wouldn't
think.
No.
Like, it's going to be before the movie, I'm pretty sure.
But then again, there's a bunch of, I was telling you about this, Lorenzo, that there's the Journey to the Force Awakens got announced this week, which is a series of books and comic books and other stuff that basically bridges the two decades between Return of the Jedi and this new film.
The interesting thing is, like, the Force Awakens takes place like 30 years after the Death Star, second Death Star, blows up. Right?
Yeah.
So if it takes place between that time, everything we're going to see is going to be new. Like, all the blasters are going to look different. All the ships are going to look different. Everybody's going to look different. The droids are not going to be like R2-D2 droids. They're going to be like something else. It's 30 years
later.
There's
rollerball droid. We know that.
Yeah, there's a rollerball droid. You can have rollerball droids everywhere.
And I hope if they're going to return to the end of Return of the Jedi, I hope they bring back Yub Nub, the Yub Nub song.
And then they drum on the helmets.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Remember the song, all the Ewoks sing at the end.
It's the original celebration song.
When they did the special editions, they Ashley, why don't you? Why don't you pull up Yub Nub here?
But Yub Nub,
Uchi Yub Nub,
episode 6.
Nub Uchi Kipu. That's enough of that.
It's a big party.
Look at all the, man, the audio.
It blew up right there. Like, it just blew up.
I hope that is at all listenable to the audience. I might have to turn that down. where were we? Oh, yeah. It'll be an Ewok celebration at Star Wars Celebration with Battlefront. This is the thing now. Like, this is the Star Wars Celebration to end all of them. Like,
It's
all about to go crazy. I also, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we saw the Disney Infinity Star Wars soon as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the two. When they show the first Disney Infinity, you're like, you got to have Marvel and you got to have Star Wars. And it took them a long time to, like, they kind of pretended they weren't doing either of them. The next year they put out Marvel. And then in the Marvel one, they said, hey, we've got other plans, wink.
Yeah.
And then on the screen behind them was a picture of Elsa from Frozen holding a lightsaber. And so,
Kingdom Hearts.
I think that should tell it. No.
Sorry.
Kingdom Hearts.
Are you kidding me? Anyway.
Geez.
I am certain there will be a Frozen stage in Kingdom Hearts 3, though.
Just give me the Darth Vader figure and I'll be happy. It'll be all right.
I don't know. What would a Darth Vader figure look like, infinity style?
Big
probably
eyes.
Awesome. Yeah. I don't know. Have you? Yeah.
The Marvel ones are cool.
The Star Wars Rebels Darth Vader looks pretty cool. He looks real intense. He's got like really sharp eyes, sort of, which is really weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, well, because it's like eyes shouldn't do anything. Like his eyes are not emotive. Like that's the thing. Like that's what's so scary about Darth Vader. That it's just like a robot skull face.
Yeah, he's just got like bug eyes. It's really creepy.
Oh man, we are running along. So let me just say, also, God of War 3 remastered for the PS4.
That's going to happen.
Yep. I think that will just be the name of these things now, just remastered. Like, is it not HD? Not an HD version. It was HD before, but now it's remastered.
What are they going to do after remastered?
Remastered? Perfected?
The perfected edition.
4K? Well, if they go to a new... That's the thing. They haven't gone to a new level of definition. Once they go up to 4K... Once 4K definition becomes normalized, then I bet it'll be 4K.
God of War, the blow your face off edition.
All right. And now, I don't think there are any big previews this week.
So the demo, but that's about it. Not a preview.
Okay, really. Yeah, that actually, the Final Fantasy demo. for 15, which you should just watch our stream of it, guys.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Go watch it.
But then there were five big old reviews this week, and let's get the ones out of the way by people who were not here. So Final Fantasy Type Zero came out, which got a 3.5 out of 5. Said that it had a cool story and interesting scenario, but it had like some of the worst menus they'd ever seen.
Oh.
And according to the review, and that it still in a lot of ways like structurally felt like a PSP game on a TV. Like
it felt like a port.
Yeah, it felt more like a port than a full game. But mostly the goods outweighed the bad. Mario Party 10 got a 2.5 out of 5. The reviewer just felt like, yeah, more Mario Party, and that there were some real missed opportunities with the Wii U gamepad capabilities. There were some really good minigames, but not enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we had Battlefield Hardline, 3.5 out of 5. Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah. About what you'd expected.
Okay, and now let's talk about the two reviews by reviewers in this very room. Both episodic games. One... That's run out of episodes. Right, Max?
That's right, Henry. We're talking, of course, about Resident Evil Revelations 2, which is finally over. Yay!
Your long nightmare is over.
Oh, it wasn't really a nightmare.
Your nightmare is long.
Anyway. I had a lot of fun with Revelations 2. Gave it a 4 out of 5. Super fun, cooperative third-person shooter. You guys heard talk about it before. I don't know. What else do you want to know about? The last episode... falls on shaky ground, but there are two like little mini epilogues that you can download that sort of fill in the blank. Whatever, the ending is whatever, but the three episodes leading up to the ending are really great.
Is it a better Resident Evil than Resident Evil 6?
Yes.
My quick question. Let's see if you can this is a quick answer.
A rapid fire.
Is there a reason, and obviously it's not a big deal now, would there have been a reason to purchase each episode as it came out as opposed to waiting for the big retail release when you got all the bonus stuff?
If you weren't interested in all the extra frills and bonus stuff that are in the full release, then there's that. If you bought along with all the different episodes, then you got to be part of the conversation, actually. You got to speculate on the big mysteries at the end of every episode.
Yeah, but with only a week between episodes, like how long can you even...
Right. I mean, when you look at it on paper, you're like, oh, wow, a week between episodes, it's like a TV show. That'll work. But then in practice, it's like, that went by fast.
I'm playing through it with my fiance, and I'm like we play one... Uh-huh. We play one part of an episode because it breaks up into two parts.
Right.
It's Claire and then Barry. So we play like the Claire one day and then like maybe get to Barry later. So like they're releasing faster than when I'm actually playing it. So
I know. Really matter. It's because it seems like Capcom just made a full game that then they released four parts.
They've talked about that too, where like the whole game was finished when they released the first episode. But then they just staggered it out.
It is nice to get it to play a piece of it, you know, because, you know, I don't really necessarily think I would commit to a $60 purchase of, you know, this full game, but yeah, I'll pay $6 to play the first episode, check it out.
And if you like it, great, and if you don't like it, then you can just pull the plug on it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so 4 out of 5. That's good.
I did. I really liked it. Still playing it. Still doing the raid mode stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Playing it. Still
and
going.
Ashley?
It's worthwhile. Yep. And this one is one we definitely don't have to worry about coming out too fast. Tales from the Borderlands Episode 2 that's been 3 months out. Episode 2 was pretty good. I didn't think it was as good as Episode 1. I felt like Episode 1 had a lot stronger jokes and was really bolstered by all the action scenes. And Episode 2 kind of slowed down a little bit and was more like introspective stuff, which I've seen some other reviewers have just loved. But I felt it kind of got a little too slow and some scenes kind of dragged out unnecessarily, which kind of ruined some of the jokes. It was just kind of like, okay, did you need to do that thing, or could you just gone from this to this a lot faster? So I think it's kind of like the connective tissue, like they're bringing in stuff that's going to be important later, like, oh, there's Athena, oh, there's Handsome Jack, here's all this other stuff that's happening that's going to be important in like Episode 4 or 5, but they got to establish it now. So it's kind of like, I described it as like the connective tissue, the stuff that has to be there to hold it together, but it's not really that tasty. But it's still, I think, worth playing to keep up with it, especially because the ending of episode 2 is kind of crazy. So I would say do play it, but, you know, be patient with it.
You have been really, as the key episodic reviewer at GR, GR Plus these days, Ashley, like, you've been very busy. It seems like you're going to be pretty busy going forward. I think, I believe they're implying Game of Thrones episode 3 will be out next week, as well as Life is Strange episode 2.
Those are both, I know for sure Life is Strange is coming out pretty soon. Episode 3 of Game of Thrones, they've still been a little shaky on it, but it seems like it might come out even before Life is Strange. So
wow. We'll
find out.
Exciting. All right. So those were all the big reviews this week. Next week, Bloodborne. Could it be the best game of the year so far? Will all the hype pay off? Like, we shall see.
I'm excited.
Until then, we're going to take a quick break. Have your answers to last week's question of the week, as well as this week's new question of the week. Welcome back, guys. We're almost done. It's the question of the week time in the community segment.
Community segment on Radio Radar. We read your stuff if it's good enough.
Interpretive dance.
Now, that last week's question is humorously enough, based on something we're planning right now, what's the most difficult game you've ever beaten?
Has nothing to do with anything.
Be ready to answer that again, guys, and you'll be happy to do so. But anyway, here's our favorite replies to that question of the week on last week's podcast. Darth Ender X said, "Mine is definitely beating Battletoads on the NES, which I actually did legitimately back when it first came out. I tried replaying it on an emulator a few years ago, and even using save states, I couldn't get past the rat race level."
Ugh.
And also, I'm going to read the next guy, too. The guy in the closet said, "El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron." Yeah, that was a Japanese brawler with deep combat that used 3 or 4 different weapons, and being a Japanese game, it got really hard on the highest difficulty. You could barely get hit and survive, and your weapons quickly break with use, so you have to keep stealing more. It took a lot of work to beat, but once I did, I felt very proud. Man, El Shaddai,
great soundtrack on that game.
An amazing soundtrack, mm-hmm. One of the most beautifully art-directed games I've ever seen, so gorgeous. You can tell it was a game directed by the art director of Akami, and when you play it, it also feels like it was made by a guy who draws and doesn't make games.
There's
3D. The combat's good. The combat's good, not great. The 2D portions are good, not great. 3D platforming is atrocious, just real bad. But meanwhile, there's a great boss fight that basically takes place in a water-themed gay dance club. So, I mean, you know.
It all bounces out.
And you're fighting a guy that is both an angel and a whale at the same time, who also silently dances at you instead of fighting you.
Sounds like Dishonored.
You check out El Shaddai. You can get it for 8 cents now, I would bet.
Right. Ocelot Fox says, "My most hardcore gaming achievement is getting A rankings in every mission of Valkyria Chronicles EX Hard Mode, which, holy cow. Easily the most difficult mode I've ever played through. The EX hard mode demands not only perfect execution, but also requires a creative approach to a strategy game that defies conventional logic. Want to play through slow and steady? You'll get stuck with the D rank, as the game demands that you take risks in order to get the best rankings."
That's quite
an achievement.
That's hardcore. Dr. Devious. Devious.
Devious.
Devious. Says, "I have played the game for over 200 hours, but I beat the original Binding of Isaac Golden God," which means I beat everything. Hard characters like Blue Baby that has no red hearts. Hard challenges like The Purist, where no treasure rooms appear, and making you very underpowered in the main game. I would have Platinum God, which involves beating everything in a much harder DLC 2, but I don't have the boy achievements, whatever that means.
He explains it.
Which involve not taking any damage on each of the floors because they are glitched and won't unlock on a Mac, my gaming PC.
Oh no.
That sucks.
Playing games on a Mac. Whoa.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
Get with the times.
Just right there.
It's like, yeah, that every game gaming is hardcore for you.
Gaming on a Mac?
Damn. Okay, Mr. Hollywood 3.
This is good.
Mr. Hollywood 360 says, I beat Killzone 3 on Veteran, and I broke my then only PS3 controller with my forehead.
I like to imagine that was an unrelated incident sometime after completing Killzone 3.
It's like they just hit it against their head. Like, oh, shoot. That was a complete accident.
So I'm going to give this one to the guy in the closet, and not just because he brought up El Shaddai. Certainly not. But that is what he wins. All right. So this week's question of the week, what do you want out of a Nintendo mobile game? Because, you know, it's not theoretical now. It's really happening. So you better get used to it. So instead of just whining like, yeah, Nintendo's ruined forever, what would you want them to do on a mobile game? I will start this one. So I feel like Nintendo will never make another Advance Wars game for the 3DS. Like, not a full-on one, not with like even a handheld games budget. But they will make it with a mobile games budget, and it will also have like tap. It is one of those things, like, it's not reactive, like it's not about speed or dexterity. It's about tapping on one spot on a map and making a guy go to another spot on the map and then saying to attack. Like, it is not a flashy game that demands much stuff graphically either. Advance Wars, again, like, they haven't made a new Advance Wars in about 7 years, seemingly no plans to. Why not just drop it on mobile? And Intelligent Systems, I think, would do a real good job with it.
Okay.
I'd do a Zelda fishing game because they have all those mobile fishing games.
And, there you go. Crazy fishing.
You throw bombs down in there?
Yeah, you just throw bombs and you get rupees and you try to get big fish and all that stuff. It'd be awesome.
That's a great idea.
I mean, it already works on mobile, so why not make a Zelda one? Mm-hmm.
This one's a bit weird, and I doubt that it would ever exist, but I think it'd be really cool. Have you guys ever seen those games where, like, it's on your phone, and it tells you, okay, go to this real place. And then
that's Google Maps, Ashley. It's not a game.
But has anyone played these where it's like, oh, go take this base, and it, like, sends you to an actual place, and you get there, and it's like, okay, you've stood here for 10 seconds, you get the base.
Oh, it's like a zombie run, kind of? Kind of
like that. Mm-hmm. Do that, but with Pokemon. Like, run around, walk around your existing world and catch Pokemon, and I'm like, I would so do that.
That sounds like it would improve your life too. Exercise.
Get some exercise, catch Pokemon, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Mine's not tied to any one specific game, but I just want to see like weird, goofy ideas that you would never see like on other Nintendo hardware. I want to see like tiny games made by like five dudes that just they've had a weird idea for like the last 6 or 7 years, and by golly, they finally got a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, like also, so I forgot to say, guy in the closet, because you were the winner, you need to send me an email to RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com announcing yourself the winner and tell me what systems you got and you get something. But if you want to win something like that person, answer this week's question of the week, the what would you want out of a Nintendo mobile game. Do it in the comments section for this week's episode 131, and we will read our favorites on the next one, and one of you will win something. Exciting, right? All right, so we've reached the end. This has been another great episode. I hope by next week nobody else quits the game industry. Or that, like, Microsoft announces that they're going to make mobile game. No, they make mobile game. Well, whatever. Like, I hope we don't have, like, 10 more giant industry-shifting announcements to discuss next week.
You know what I hope next week? That he announces Silent Hills is still going to happen. That's what I want. The only thing I want.
All right. So, anyway, this has been fun. We will see you next time. And until next time, Radio Radar